Testament, the book of Amos. Now, Amos is near the back. If you go past Daniel, just a little ways past Daniel, you got Hosea, then you got Amos. Amos chapter 4. If you can't find it right in front of your Bible, it'll show you, it'll tell you exactly how to find it. Sometimes those little books are hard to find. I'll give you a minute to find it. Amos chapter 4. I'm amazed that Mel and Lonnie sang that beautiful song, Come Home. My message is return unto me. In other words, come home. It's exactly what I'm going to read that God said to the people of Israel. I know not what he's singing. He don't know what I'm preaching. So I thought, boy, we're in sync. Amen. And so that's great. It doesn't always happen like that, but I like it when it does. Amos, Amos, chapter 4. And we're going to read from verses 6 to 13. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Glad you're here today. Good to see you. It's not a bad crowd. We got about 25 gone from out of town. Let's be pretty back up there. It's still summer. People are still taking vacations. And by the way, God bless you if you take a vacation. People need a vacation. You work on... And Ravenna is a place in the winter that's kind of depressing. It's always gray. So get it while you can. We're glad you're here. I'm glad you're here today. Pray for those that are traveling home. Notice Amos chapter 4, verse 6. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities. Boy, you know what, kids? When you have cleanness of teeth, it means you ain't been eating nothing. Because usually when you eat, you have something in your teeth. So that means they weren't eating very much. Notice, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Look at verse 7. And also I'm withholding the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece wherein upon it rained not withered. So two of the cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you, verse 9, with the blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer wood devoured them. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Boy, remember the pestilence? There was 10 of them, by the way. They did a lot of things, 10 plagues that God put on Egypt. When Moses was there, but notice, I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Young men have I slain with the sword, have taken away your horses. I have made the stink of your camps to come up into your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Boy, the thought when you read this is, man, what does God have to do to get those people to come back? Amen? I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah was so terrifying that the two girls of Lot literally thought that the whole world was destroyed and that their father was the only man left upon the face of the earth. That's how devastating Sodom and Gomorrah. That's how horrific, how horrible, how terrible, how frightening Sodom and Gomorrah was. By the way, he got the girls out of Sodom, but he didn't get the Sodom out of the girls, did he? Notice, and yet you were as firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, because you won't return unto me, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. Because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. That's a statement. By the way, I'll get to it. For lo, I'll preach in just 1 minute. I'm so excited about preaching this. For lo, he that formed. Now he's saying, I want you to know who's talking to you. The Creator's talking to you. For lo, he that formed the mountains and created the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought and maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high place of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. He said it. I said it. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray that we can learn something from this. As I read this week and thought about the gravity of this statement that you made in these 6-7 verses here, pray that I could get a hold of what this is really saying and the people. And I would to God it would go all through the country. Meet with us today. Help us to know our Creator. Help us to know the God of heaven. Help us to sense your presence and want your presence. And help us to do your perfect will, I pray. And help us to return. Help us to return home. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In this passage of Scripture, verses 6 through 13 that I read, 5 times the Lord makes a statement, yet hath you not returned unto me. 5 times he said that, saith the Lord. 5 times, and 5 in the Old Testament is the number of death, by the way. But 5 times in verse 6 he said it, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Verse 8, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Verse 9, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Verse 10, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Verse 11, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. 5 times, God repeats these statements. You have not returned unto me. And I know 5 in the Old Testament is a number of death. Goliath was killed by 1 stone, but when you read the Scripture, David had 5 stones. 5 in the Old Testament represents death. By the way, he had the other 4 for Goliath's kids, but they didn't come forward. Someone would have killed my daddy. I think I'd have been Adam, though. But he was ready to kill him if they would have came. Some of them had 6 fingers on them. Amen? 6 toes? Hello? Anybody home? They were big hombres. But I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. And then, so God, from verse 6 through 11, God says, you have not returned unto me. 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 5 times he makes a statement to Israel. I tried to reach you, but you have not returned unto me. I've done things to get your attention, but you've not returned unto me. I've done things to make you think about me and turn your back, but in the midst of all that I've done, you still have not returned unto me. Okay, then he comes to verse 12. Oh, okay. I'm done playing with you. I'm not playing with you no more. Just get ready to meet God. All right, I tried it through things. Now you better get ready to die. You just better get ready to prepare to meet God. Can anyone say amen or oh me? God says you better get ready. You better get repent because you refuse to return to me. Prepare to meet thy God. You know, I got a question here. What will it take to get the people of America to come back to God? We've got this red alert revival coming up. I'm going to tell you, America needs to come back to God. Bethel Baptist Church needs to come back to God. Churches all around America need to come back to God. Preachers like myself need to come back to God. Christians like you need to come back to God. Hello. What would it take? What's it going to take for America to come back to God? What's it going to take for us at Bethel to come back to God? You know, look what God had to do to Israel, and they still refused. And look, follow with me as I show you. Verse 6. In verse 6, God sent a famine, cleanliness of teeth, want of bread. Yet hunger did not make them return. Brian, I thought, oh, to God, we as Christians need to hunger for the things of God. Don't ever throw those t-shirts you bought for the teen department that says hunger on it. There's a greater need for people today to hunger for the things of God than there ever was since I've been saved. I think there's a hunger and people don't even realize they're hungry. They don't care about it. They have no spiritual hunger for the things of God. God said, all right, I've taken your food away from you, but yet, even though I've taken it and made you hunger, you still haven't hungered for me. I wonder what God would have to do to make us hunger for him. In verse 7 and 8, they had the lack of water. He withheld water, the Bible says there in verse 7. He caused it not to rain. And then verse 8, they came to the three cities, they all came to drink in one city. And they were, that says, the need was, they did not, look at verse 8. So two of the cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. There wasn't enough water there to drink for all of them. They didn't have enough to go around. It was a lack of water. Yet, hunger didn't make them return to God. Thirst did not make them return to God. Oh, I would to God we'd have a thirst for the things of God. Oh my, I would to God there'd be a thirst I know why the world doesn't thirst for the things of God. Christians don't even think thirst for it. Christians don't thirst for it. Christians don't hunger for the things of God. It's mostly a game for most Christians. Hello? We wonder what's wrong with the world. It's not the world, it's the Christians that live in the world. If we would live like we're supposed to, people would see it and we would draw people. We'd be living examples. In verse 9, the third judgment, God destroyed their gardens, their vineyards, their olive trees. He sent a blasting mildew, the Bible says there. And he sent the palmer worm, and it devoured them. Yet, the palmer worm and the mildew and all the plague did not make them return unto God. I wonder what God would have to do to America. How much does God have to plague America? How much does God have to eat away at America with the palmer wood? How much does God have to eat away at our economics and different things of our society to make the people turn back to God? Look at the fourth thing, verse 10. He destroyed their armies with death by the judgments that were of Egypt, the manner of Egypt. Man, do you remember back in Exodus, starting with chapter 7 of verse 19? Remember God made he had Moses and Aaron to touch the water and the water became blood. He said, then he sent frogs. He sent locusts. He sent lice. He sent boils. He sent diseases. He sent flies. And then at the end, he killed all the firstborn that didn't have the blood atonement on the door. And all the firstborn in Egypt, if they didn't have the blood atonement on the door, which is a type of the blood of Christ that protects us, they had to have that lamb that would shed the blood of the lamb. And they didn't trust the lamb, so they perished. Yet all that, and they still wouldn't turn to God. And then I see the fifth thing. He sent fire and brimstone to scorch and to burn and destroy man, beast, and land. He said, he mentions Gomorrah. He said, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. I quote Genesis 19:24, the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. I'm going to tell you something right now. God was displeased with what was going on down in Sodom and Gomorrah. People don't like you to preach on it, but homosexuality is evil. Homosexuality is not another lifestyle. It's an abomination to God. It's about time we start preaching on things and not taking a back seat. We need to let people know in 2006, it was wrong. It was wrong 5,000 years ago. It's still wrong today. God, Brother Carey, God hated it back there in Sodom and Gomorrah's day. He hated it in Lot's day and Abraham's day. And He hates it just as much as He does today in 2006. I don't care if you got the queer parades out there in San Francisco. God still hates it. And you teenagers, I don't want you to be subject to it. It's wrong. It's evil. Stay away from it. God never meant for two men to be married, or two women to be married. That's why He made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen? And by the way, He made where one could reproduce, because He wanted us to populate. Two men can't reproduce. Two women can't reproduce. Why do you so you raise a family and you bring children and you teach them the ways of God? They won't be teaching the ways of God. And by the way, I don't want them watching. I don't want them adopting kids either. You say, boy, that leg's really got you up in the air. No, I'm just telling you the way it is. We need to hold forth the truth. America needs to return back. Listen, look up here. But America is never going to return back to God until the church does. If the churches don't come back to God, you mark her down. The hope's not in the White House. Even the gal, the precious lady that was a judge there, she realized it's not in the White House. It's in the church house that's got the hope for America. You remember when God sent down fire down Sodom and Gomorrah? He destroyed everything. He destroyed man, beast, land, everything. It was so devastating. Sodom, Lot's two daughters, they said, our dad's the only one that's alive in the whole world. Let's get him drunk and have him go into us that night and make a baby. Say that so you can understand when you have a child. God was never in that. But see, you see, when our hearts are so evil, when we're not used to taking a stand, because see, Lot didn't teach his kids right from wrong. Hey, parents, you see how important it is to teach your kids right from wrong? Had he put those principles in their heart, Eddie, when they were young, they would have never done that. They would have never done that. Plus, there was a lot of his older children grew up. Brother Carey, Lot had children. I know from the scripture. He had children. He had son-in-laws, which means they were married. And they no doubt, most kids that are married have babies. He had children. He had his own, several, I don't know how many he had, but he had several children that did not come out of Sodom. And he had grandchildren and son-in-laws, and they all were destroyed. The Bible says when he went to them, they said he was seen as one mocked to them. In other words, they said, what are you saying? You never sold this before. What are you getting so religious now for? And they died in their sin. But it was really his sin because he didn't tell the truth. Well, I know that this. What would God have to do? What would God have to do to bring us to make America return unto Him? You know, there's a rumor going out. I don't know. I don't take anything in it, but there's a rumor going out that on August 22nd, there's supposed to be a nuclear bomb go off somewhere in the world. How many have heard of that? I'm not making this up. There's so much terrorism in the world today, and people are trying to make statements of rebellion that they say that there's going to be a bomb go off on August 22nd. Today's August 20th, so that's 2 days from now. And that would be on a Tuesday. Well, I don't know if the bomb's going to go off or not. I'll tell you one thing. I don't doubt anything anymore. I think people better be prepared to meet God whether the bomb goes off or not. But Bobby, the way the world's going, there's a good chance that bomb might go off. Maybe more than one. But I thought about this, Brother Carey. If the bomb goes off Tuesday, how many people would be in this church on Wednesday? I'll bet you my crowd triples. And then let another bomb go off the next week. Buddy, this place will be packed out. We'll be sending the cheers on Wednesday night. What does God have to do to bring us back to God? What does He have to do to America? What does He have to do in our life to make us return unto Him? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's a stirring in my soul today. There's a stirring. It's about time the old man stirs. There are a lot of Christians. What would God have to do to make you return to Him? So many people playing Christians, playing church. Jesus is coming back. We're nearing the end. There are a lot of Christians like Lot, just sitting around playing in the world. They're not reaching to the lost. They don't witness. No testimony for God. No convictions for right and wrong. They're just like Lot. Genesis 19. He was sitting. He was sitting in the sitting in the gate of Sodom. Sitting in the midst of all the sin. Not a care in the world. He blended right in with them. If I didn't know from Peter, because God said in His Word, His righteous soul was vexed. That's why I know Lot was a saved man. Other than that, you would not have known he was saved. Can anyone say amen or oh me? He was... Roddy, how many Christians are just like Lot? They're sitting in the gate, watching the world go by. And they're watching the world go out unprepared to meet God. And even their own children. And no teaching, no godly teaching. No concern if they live or perish. What does God have to do to Christians to get us to return? How many Jonas are out there in the world running from God? They know what God wants for their life. They know what God wants them to do. They know God's desire for their life. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you know what I'm talking about. God's told you not to do something or to do something. And you said, no, no, no. And some of you are running away. You're running away like Jonah. You're fleeing from God. And He's saying, return today. Return back to Me. Listen to Me. Some of you, they say no to God. I don't care what you say, God. I'm going to do what I want. And they're like Jonah. They're running away from truth. They're running away from God's will. And they're running away from doing right in God's eyes. And they don't care about God's eyes. And like just like Jonah, you Christians that are like Jonah running away from God in disobedience, they're going down. Read the scripture of Jonah in the next, but don't do it. It says he went down. Whenever you leave the will of God, you're going down. They're going down instead of up. It says he went down to pay and he paid the fare. Whenever it costs you to run from God, because disobedience has a price to pay. And then God has to send a storm in their life, like He did Jonah. And then God has to swallow them up in life's wind and waves. They have to be swallowed up in all of it. And then they got to be taken down to the depths of the bottom, like Jonah was.
And then he finally cried out, Eddie. It took a storm. It took a whale. It took him down to the depths. He said he was in, he showed like in from the depths of hell because he was in the uttermost bottom part. Are you with me? In other words, his life sunk to the lowest place it can go. By the way, you keep running from God, your life's going to sink to the lowest place. You better listen to this old preacher. I know God. And you run from God, you'll end up in the bottom. In the depths of the bottom. In sorrow. Fortunately, Jonah repented and came back to God. Amen. And he was used too. He might have been a happy camper, but he was still used. The whole town, the whole city of Nineveh, multi-thousands of 120,000 people were saved because of one disgruntled Christian. Isn't that amazing? When God can use anybody, even a jerk like Jonah. He's a jerk like me. He'll lose a guy like you too. Hello? You know why? Because God says, I want you to see it's me. It's not Rich Skiver. You know Rich Skiver, but you can't deny it's come from me. What does God have to do? Let me ask you a question. You're here to, some of you, you know you're in complete disobedience to God. Some of you know you're in disobedience to God. You know you are. What does God have to do to make you return? What does He got to do to make you return? We have 2 days of revival coming, September 14th and 15th. I'm excited about those 2 days. I'm 57 years old. I've preached for 30 years. Since I've been 21 years old, how many is that? 36 years, I think, if you add them. For 36 years, I've been preaching. When I was a young kid, they used to have revivals. They talked to me about revivals going 3 and 4 weeks. Do you think I could have a revival now for 3 and 4 weeks? Then they cut them down to 2 weeks. How long has your brother been preaching? Okay. He still might remember this. 20 years ago, they were still doing 2 week revivals. I put a tent up one time in Galena Street. I just put a tent up on the parking lot across from the building that we met in. And I preached for 12 straight days. 2 weeks we had revival in a tent. You could never even think about doing that today. Churches wouldn't have it. Preacher, you don't know what day we live in. Oh, yeah, I do. We live in a day that we need to return back to God. Then we cut them down to a week. Then we cut them from a week. That's why these evangelists don't have no meetings. It's not that the evangelists ain't no good. Churches are so away from God. Now we got revival meetings from Sunday to Wednesday, or Wednesday to Sunday, 4 days. That way it doesn't wear the people out too much. Don't worry, Bobby. Before he comes back and when it starts to all fall apart, we're going to have some camp meetings out there in that church land. And they'll probably go a few weeks. We'll just let the Lord take it however he wants us to go. We need to return. How can we expect the world to return when we as Christians don't even care ourselves? We need to return. We need to return. We need to return to loving God again. We need to return to loving reading His Bible. We need to return to loving hearing His Word. We need to return to studying and witnessing and praying. We need to return to say, oh God, help me to know You more. I want to love You more, seek You more. I want to sin less. I want more holiness and less sinfulness in my life. I want to walk with You and talk with You. And I want to make the right decisions for my life. And I don't want my will for my life, but oh God, I want Your will for my life. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. On earth as it is in heaven. Mac, we need a revival. I'm even thrilled to have a 2-day revival. If there ever was a time for revival in my life, it's now. If there ever was a time for revival in your life, it's now. I'm telling you. If there's ever a time for revival in America's life, it's now. But a revival is not going to come till it comes first to the churches. In Bethel Baptist Church, we are stagnant and we've become complacent for the things of God. We're here, but we're not here. We're doing, but we're not doing. Hello? God said, if there ever is going to be a revival, you need to return unto Me. God said, you better return unto Me. You better return or prepare to meet God. I'm going to close with this. I saw a great truth yesterday that really, in a mirror, that really got me. And I guess that's what really stirred me. I guess that's what put me over the edge. That ball game between Amazing Grace and Bethel yesterday, which I did not want to have, I didn't care about the ball game. I was more concerned to having a day of fellowship with the churches, having a good time. The ball game was only to bring them together. I couldn't bring the people together, so what was the sense of having a ball game? Hello? Besides that, I couldn't play. My leg was sore. I wanted to be part of it. And I saw something, though. I told Pastor Teach at Friday, I said, hey, we need to cancel. I've already called the church, told them not to come. We need to cancel. Oh, no, we're going to do it. You know, I went in after the ball game and I wrote this down. These last thoughts I'm going to leave with you. If we would just take God as serious as we do the games of life. Here's what I wrote. I wrote 4 things. I'm just going to read them to you. I hope you think about them. People will drive miles to play. Those people drove 150 miles each way. They drove over 300 miles. Not against playing. I'm not against playing softball. I'm not. But they drove over 300 miles to play a softball game in the rain and the mud. Yet how many miles would we drive? How many of us would drive 300 miles to hear God's word preached? How many of us would drive 300 miles to hear a great man of God that would preach and change our life for eternity? How many would us drive 300 miles, yet we'll drive 300 miles for a softball game? I'm not against softball. I like it. I don't want to quit playing. Don't misread me. I'm just saying, No wonder we're so far from God. We put all the worldly things in front of God, but when it comes to God, I guarantee you there's not hardly anyone that would, if they said, hey, Brother Skyver or Brother Roger, Evangelist Ron Black's going to be preaching at his church Saturday morning at noon. Everybody come up for the revival to hear Brother Rod, the Evangelist Rod Black preach. I wonder if they'd come up and hear you preach, Roddy, for 300 miles. Hello? How far would we drive to hear someone preach? Oh, I can't do that, preacher. I noted people will pay any price so they can play. They don't care about the expense of travel, motel, food, or gas. Yet when it comes to giving to God, well, I don't know, preacher. You know, we're on a budget. Hello? I wonder what God thinks when he looks down on us. You know, we got money for everything but the things of God. I've asked, but to be honest with you, I put a $25 price on this. Some people say, well, man, that guy, he's really trying to take us for our money. You're an idiot. I don't get one penny of this. I'm just trying to put it in for the kingdom of God, for some eternity. Yet you'll blow your money on some things that doesn't have no weight of eternity at all. Yet something that we want to give to go, that it's even got preaching and that people can hear over and over and get saved. I guarantee you, some of the leaders say, they'll criticize the preacher for doing that. Go ahead and criticize me. God knows my heart. People will stop whatever they're doing. I was amazed. People will stop whatever they're doing to take time to play. Yet few have time for the things of God. Boy, you say, we got a ball game going. Everybody will make, it's amazing how everybody, I don't care how busy they are in their schedules, they make time to play. I taught my preachers this years ago in a Bible class. People will do what they want to do. People will do what they want to do. It's too bad we don't want to do for God like we want to do for the world. I'm not against playing softball. I think it's great. Please don't miss it. But when you put it in perspective, how many understand what the preacher's trying to show you? We're so, Carrie, we're so away from God. When we can care more about a golf game or a basketball game or a football game or a baseball game or any kind of events above what God has for us, something's not right. People will work beyond measure to make it possible to play. Hey man, Pastor Teach, I took those, they came over up Friday night to play golf. I don't golf, but they played. Brother David went with them. And then I housed them at my house, all of them. I got up the next morning, we took them down to the Big Boy they wanted to go to a breakfast, and they wanted to go to where there was a smorgasbord. I said, well, the Big Boy there in Frisch has got one. Streetsboro. So I took him in. When we were driving the Streetsboro, the rain was so hard at 10 o'clock, I could barely see in front of the windshield. We got there, we went to the ball field. It was mud and water. Pastor Jesus had me run him to Lowe's, but he had me do it before when we left Big Boy. He had me run him to Lowe's. He went and bought a squeegee. He went and bought a broom. Hello? He went, by the way, he bought breakfast too, and I was so glad about that. Because I still have waitress to give it all to me, and I'll take care of it. They were my guests, I take care of them. But he paid it, and I said, good boy. I like those kind of guys. And I dropped him off, he got the tractor. What I'm trying to say is this. He said, preacher, I said, listen. Let's just call it off. Let's do it when everybody can come out.
let's do it when all the churches, we can have a picnic and everything. I said, I've already canceled it with the people. See, my concern was, I wasn't so much worried about the ball game. I really, God knows, I didn't give a flip. I just wanted to have it for the church outing. But when you got covered with mud and water, it kind of dampens the day. And he was just concerned about the ball game. I didn't care about the ball game. I was concerned about the people having fun together. But what I'm amazed at, people will pay any price. He said, I don't care what, if rain or shine, we're going to have the game. I said, okay, I'm going home. My leg hurts me, and I'm not going to be part of it. And I said, I doubt my people can show up. Notice, weather, no matter what the weather plays no factor, rain or shine, they come anyways. It's amazing. But when it comes to the work of God, oh boy, I don't know, preacher. I don't know if I can do that. Hello? Isn't it sad? I don't know what God thinks. Man, those rascals would do that for a ball game. That means nothing. Plus, the preacher's going to lose his temper and want to snap that little kid's neck off his head. I didn't. I was good. I was calm. One guy said, don't have a heart attack, preacher. I said, don't worry, I'm not going to have a heart attack. But you're going to get killed if you get in front of me. They cheated that young kid, the young boy. I can't believe they cheated him. I tell you. It was a church softball game. I don't believe it. Oh, well. I could see if it was someone we were doing something for, you know, something for real. But anyways, it's just in our people from Toledo. It's in us to cheat. We just like to win. Amen. But I've been reformed. Amen. I'm going to close with this. Still on the ball game. There's great joy in winning. I saw two teams. The ones that won had great joy. The ones that lost had their heads down, had some sorrow. You know, when we leave this life, are you going to be a winner for God? When you leave this life, are you going to be a winner for God, or are you going to be a loser for God? Are you going to have joy when this life's over, or are you going to have sorrow when this life's over? See, there's a bigger game than what was played. There's a bigger game out there than what was played on that ball field yesterday. And I'm trying to get you to see it today. Some leave with regrets. Some leave with rejoicing. When you leave this world, are you going to look back with regrets that you didn't return to God? Or are you going to rejoice and say, man, I'm glad I went back to God? When you stand before God, and everyone will you have regrets or rejoicing? If you don't want to stand before God as a loser in life and regrets over what you did with your life, then I advise you right now to get up out of your seat, get down on this altar and say, God, I'm returning. I don't want to leave this life a loser, and I don't want to leave this life with regret. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I don't know what you're going to have to do to make us return. I really don't know what we're going to have to do to get the return. But, oh God, I saw through a game yesterday, how unimportant worldly things are, yet how magnitude they are to our lives, and how minute the things that really matter in life, that matter before God, what's really going to matter when we stand before you. Oh God, we're just like those people in Israel. Yet ye have not returned unto me How many say preacher with every head bowed, every eye closed, they're playing softly. Preacher, I need to return unto God. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes. Yes, 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 yes. I need to return unto God. Why don't you do it right now then? Just come. Come, we'll make room for you. That's right, just come. I don't need this for me. I'm trying to help you. This is my playing field. This is where it really counts. Don't turn your back on God. Don't turn your back on God. Yet ye have not returned unto me. Wonder what God has to do. What does God have to do to make us return unto Him? If you're here and you've never been saved, you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you should do it right now. Maybe you want to join this church. Maybe you're saved, but you're looking for a home church. Why don't you join today? Be part of a church that loves God and going forward for the cause of Christ. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us to see where we're standing. Help us to see where we're at. Help us to return unto you. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.